joining us now, Garland Gilchrist II. Welcome to the Young Turks, Garland. Garland's, Cenk, tell them about Garland's website.
Garland's website is supersadespade.blogspot.com, and it's called The Super Spade, Black Thought at the Highest Level. Garland, welcome to the Young Turks, man. How you doing?
Good, Cenk. Good to talk to you. Good to talk to you as well, Ben.
Thank you.
All right, I don't know if you know this, but there's some chance that Super Spade might be a little offensive.
I think that's the point. I mean, to get people to think about it, you know, people have a negative connotation, especially older people, but we want to talk about just elevating thinking, and the Super Spade is talking about elevating something else, but we want to talk about elevating people's thinking and people's mindset.
Well, let's start talking about some issues then. You have written about Barack Obama and about the public squabble that he's had with Al Sharpton. I want to first, before we get into the specifics of Sharpton's complaints about Obama, about the sort of debate that is raging, near as I can tell, in the mainstream media, primarily among white commentators, the notion that the black community, a phrase that I find ridiculous, but that there are a lot of blacks anyway who don't trust Barack Obama because he is not descended from West African slaves. I don't pretend to, you know, have a great insight into any people, white people, black people, or anybody, but that strikes me as a little bogus and as a conversation that may not be authentic. But correct me if I'm wrong. Is that is it your sense that that's a thing that black people across the country are talking about?
I think that those sort of statements are completely ridiculous. To say that just because he is a descendant of African immigrants as opposed to a descendant of slaves in this country, and to think that that means that he does not understand what's going on in black America, quote-unquote, or in America today, is absolutely ridiculous. Black people that are actually doing a lot of thinking about who they're voting for, which is the majority of them, are not caught up in this whole thing that's been hyped up by, you know, mainstream media, by the right wing, who wants to find any sort of chink in Barack Obama's armor that they can find to weaken him. So, no, I don't think that thinking people are really concerned about that.
All right, first we start with Super Spade, then you throw chink in there. I don't know, man. This is getting uncool. Oh, chink in the armor, right. Okay. listen. So you think that as far as the people you know, I mean, you don't speak.
You need to call Rick Overton, man.
Right.
More joke lessons.
Sure. Listen. So among the people you know, no, is anybody really saying, "Hey, listen, I don't think is Barack Obama black enough, or is he maybe he's a little, he acts a little Asian?" Is anybody saying that, or is everybody buying what that clearly he is as he appears to be?
I have not heard a single person that I've talked to come and say that, oh, well, I question how black he really is and how much he really understands black people. Nobody that I know thought about anything like that. I think that you're mainly just hearing this conversation from people who want to find some way to detract from his power or his influence over black America.
All right, so Garland, let's get into this controversy with Obama and Sharpton. I don't know much about it, I got to be honest with you. I know it's buzzing around, but what is Sharpton saying? Why is he attacking Obama?
So Sharpton is attacking Obama. Well, he's not really attacking Obama. What he's attacking is what he believes to be black voters' sort of blind following of him. He is upset because he says that people are not asking Barack Obama tough enough questions. Black voters are not asking him tough enough questions or any questions for that matter. And so he's taking issue with that.
But isn't Hillary Clinton still leading Barack Obama among black voters in polls? I mean, it doesn't seem to me
no,
that
that's
black...
switched. No,
okay,
I'm
but
sorry.
No, I mean, Obama has made significant strides, but
I think it's now up to 70% supporting Obama.
Well, the numbers aren't quite that high. Hillary is still up slightly, but those numbers are trending downward. I think what's interesting is you ask, why is Hillary leading black voters? And I still think she's leading black voters just off of her sheer name recognition, right?
Yeah.
She's still associated with Bill Clinton. A lot of black voters in this country still have a very high regard for Bill Clinton, and she's associated with him. But I think Sharpton's issue is he's basically just jealous because he thinks that, man, Barack Obama's coming here and stealing my spotlight. I was supposed to be the black presidential candidate.
Garland, it strikes me that, and we're talking to Garland Gilchrist, he runs a website called superspade.blogspot.com, he's a writer, and Garland, what struck me about this debate, and Garland, Sharpton's criticism of Obama, is that there was this reflects a loss of power to Sharpton, because in no way has Obama solicited Sharpton. I mean, he is not gone about the rounds. He is not, you know.
Nicely done, Ben. I hadn't thought of that.
And I think that Sharpton, not surprisingly, as many politicians would and many powerful people would, feels completely dissed by a guy who's trying to run a campaign that appeals to poor voters, that appeals to minority voters, and has thought, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it by ignoring Al Sharpton.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Obama's uniquely positioned to be able to circumvent your typical sort of civil rights candidate approach that, like, Sharpton and Jesse Jackson have taken to garner the traditional black vote, and that really has not been successful. So Obama's trying to go a different route, and of course, yeah, they're upset about that because they think that, you know, if this guy's not going to listen to me, are people that vote for him going to listen to me in the future? And they don't want that.
Yeah, I just think that I'm not an expert in any way, but it strikes me that Sharpton probably feels marginalized.
And, you know, one of the problems we've had with Sharpton all along is that, you know, look, it seems to be part of his strategy. You play ball with me. If you don't play ball with me, then there's going to be a price to pay. So it seems like he's trying to, in a way that's not over the top yet, kind of like a warning shot over the bow, if you will. Over the bow, like, listen, there's going to be consequences if you don't play ball with me. Do you think that's the message he's trying to send to Obama?
I think it's something he's trying to send sort of subliminally, but I don't think it's going to come through like that to Obama. Obama's going to look at him and say, well, if you think that you're being marginalized, you may have marginalized yourself. And even though they may not necessarily be so different on a lot of issues, I don't think Obama's going to necessarily be courting Al Sharpton directly.
Do you think there'll be a time when, you sort of answered it there, Garland, that there will be a time when Obama sort of makes a more traditional, well, I don't know if it's more traditional, but it strikes me that Obama has a vested interest in staying sort of perhaps as far away from Al Sharpton as he can for as long as he can. Is that probably true or no?
I think that's definitely true, and some commenters at the Super Spade have called that out specifically when talking about Barack Obama. But eventually, I think he will sort of talk to a lot of the same issues that Sharpton speaks to. He'll just do it in a slightly more tactful and a slightly less direct way, but I think that he still agrees with him on a lot of things. So that's why I do see Sharpton eventually caving in and supporting Obama at some point during the primary season.
And of course,
I think it'll happen when Obama eventually reaches out to Jesse Jackson. And when he does, then it kind of, he'll be taken into the fold.
Well,
it's interesting, though. Jesse Jackson and some other leaders have noticeably been rather quiet on Barack Obama. So this is why it's kind of funny that Sharpton decided to be the one, well, I'm going to jump out and say something. But I think they all are sort of in the same boat as Sharpton in terms of being a little worried about this guy circumventing their power structure.
Well, we have a very simplistic way of looking at things in America, of course. And Barack Obama clearly has a vested interest in not being seen and not being typecast as the black candidate. And if you're going to run your campaigns with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and this may be totally wrong, that increases the chance that you will be seen as the next black candidate. And he wants to be seen, obviously, as a...
And then on a simpler political level, too, Ben, I think you're very right about that. But remember, you know, the conventional wisdom, right or wrong, was that being seen with Al Sharpton hurt Ned Lamont in his race against Joe Lieberman. So, you know, that it might just simply do some general political damage.
Well, let me ask Garland, along those lines, does there come a point for a guy like Barack Obama as he gets more and more steam? Let's say he becomes, you know, obviously he's a serious contender, but perhaps even the leading contender at some point. Does there come a point where if he doesn't sort of make public nice with the other prominent black leaders like Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, that becomes a big story in and of itself, that the distance he keeps starts to envelop the campaign then it starts to do some damage, or can he keep distance throughout the campaign?
I think he'll try to keep distance for as long as possible, but at some point he's going to have to speak to the issues that are always in the mouths of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. I think he'll have the opportunity to do that, and he will do that. I just don't think that he'll use the same sort of direct language that those gentlemen often use.
Well, Garland, we're running really short on time, but I do want to ask you one question about another topic. We're talking to Garland Gilchrist II. His website is superspade.blogspot.com. Now some online black activists and colorofchange.org, which is kind of like the Black Move On, have put together a campaign to get the Congressional Black Caucus to take two of their debates off of Fox News Channel. Do you have any thoughts on that? It's so far that the congressional... we said yesterday, by the way, that they're going to move them to CNN. It turns out there's four debates, and I didn't know that, to be honest. And two of them are on CNN, but two of them are still on Fox News Channel. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think they should take him off of Fox News Channel, given how Fox News Channel treats African Americans in general?
Yeah, I think it's preposterous. I think the Congressional Black Caucus Institute, so let's be clear, that's who's actually hosting these debates as opposed to the CBC itself. I think that they should not be partnering with Fox News. Further, I mean, the reasons are obvious. If you're going to partner with someone who insults you every other day and then wants to play nice with you on the next day, that just shows that you're caving in. While they're trying to be moderate, quote-unquote, look moderate with partnering with Fox News and CNN, they just end up looking weak, in my opinion. And I think that the CBCI has a reputation for sort of caving into right-wing interests whenever they think there's a financial incentive.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, fair enough. And I can't believe that they haven't really quite changed their mind on it yet, because it gives Fox the legitimacy that they clearly don't deserve. Then you take that legitimacy and that credibility, and they use it against African Americans.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you can see in the video at colorofchange.org. They show how Fox uses black people to attack black people, and that's one of the most sinister divide-and-conquer tactics that I've ever seen. But people, they use it against black folks all the time, and we need to be able to notice that and recognize that and see if we're going to have these kind of tactics, then we're not going to deal with you on any level.
All right. Well, Garland Gilchrist, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody check out superspade.blogspot.com. Thanks for being on the Young Turks, Garland.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Thanks, Garland.